Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 79 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Sean DeLane.
All the officers that work in the department will be here to try to get that many people in campus safely and quickly, and it's a pretty big process.
Moorhead State University is preparing for freshman move-in day tomorrow.
Water main break in Ashland has been repaired.
The Attorney General's office is warning Kentuckians to be on the lookout for sex trafficking.
In sports, the Reds will try to win two in a row tonight at Great American Ballpark.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Looks like clear tonight with a low of 57 degrees. Stay tuned after the news for an extended weather forecast.
It will be an all-hands-on-deck situation for Moorhead State's Police Department tomorrow and Thursday as hundreds of university's freshmen students move into their on-campus housing. According to Chief Merle Harrison, it takes a lot of planning to make the complicated event go as safely and as problem-free as possible.
Every year, the process is looked at and just try to make it more efficient. The housing director, Alan Rucker, is a big part of that. Of course, he's over all the residence halls, so he kind of sees what worked the year before. We all kind of put input in, and we try to improve it every year, try to make everything go a little smoother.
With traffic expected to be heavy around the city of Moorhead, officials are asking for patience from both local residents and the campus community during MSU's freshman move-in days.
In addition to becoming the home to all of Moorhead State Student Services, the renovated and expanded Ergen Doran University Center will be a great place to eat after it reopens in the fall of 2018. That word comes from Rick Linio, the school's assistant vice president for facilities management, who notes there will be 5 retail food shops in the building.
And a large Starbucks. And then you have Moe's, which is a retail operation. Then we have Steak and Shake. Of course, we have Chick-fil-A. And we have another place called Witch, which is a kind of a similar version of a Panera Bread, but that kind of concept, sandwiches, things of that nature. And then Aramark will have theirs. They'll have pizza, a deli.
Linio says a sports pub will also be located in the Doran University Center's first level. The $49 million project started last year. Linio estimates that it's just over 50% completed.
Hundreds of Fort Campbell soldiers are deploying to Southwest Asia. Paul Miles has more.
The Army Post is hosting a farewell ceremony for 500 soldiers who are deploying overseas. They are with the 101st Combat Aviation Brigade. The unit is an attack reconnaissance squadron that can support a variety of operations. The soldiers will serve on a 9-month tour.
A water main break in Ashland has been fixed, but preventative maintenance is still ongoing. Ryan Eastwood is the Director of Engineering and Utilities for the City of Ashland. He says in order to repair the line break that happened Thursday, 22 additional valves had to be shut down.
If one valve is broken or the head of the valve is rounded off and we can't get it shut, then you have to back up further and shut many more valves. Well, to shut 20-some-odd valves, it usually takes, on average, probably about 10 minutes per valve.
Last week's break was located on the corner of 13th Street and Winchester Avenue. It shut down one lane of traffic and flooded the basement of a neighborhood business.
The Kentucky Public Service Commission has scheduled a meeting in Inez regarding the Martin County Water District. The meeting will be held August 29th at the Roy Collier Community Center. Members of the PSC will discuss their investigation of the Martin County Water District. Customers have filed multiple complaints against the district, and the Public Service Commission opened an investigation in April. Mary Cromer is with the Appalachian Citizens Law Center. She spoke with EKB TV following a public meeting in July.
Especially over on this side of the mountain, a lot of times the water pressure is really bad. And the water, when the pressure is really bad, especially the water smells like dead fish, people were saying. Other people were saying it has so many chemicals in it that it burns their skin when they shower.
Officials with the utility have been ordered to attend the meeting and listen to comments, but they will not make any presentations. They will attend an evidentiary hearing on September 9th.
As people from all over the world flock to Hopkinsville for the best view of the solar eclipse, the Kentucky Attorney General's office is preparing for the possibility of increased sex trafficking. WKYT reports the AG's office has been conducting trainings across the state on how to spot human trafficking. Attorney General Andy Beshear says events that attract large numbers of people also lure in sex traffickers.
We see increased trafficking. We see both regional trafficking increase, and we see people being brought in from the outside. It makes it all that much more important for us to be prepared. This can also be an opportunity to rescue a number of children that are out there being trafficked.
Officials with Beshear's office say most human trafficking happens online, so Western Kentucky law enforcement will be keeping an eye on trafficking websites in the days surrounding August 21st. Civilians can help identify victims, too. Officials say people being trafficked usually don't know their home address and may not know their current location. They may have more than one cell phone and more than one key for their hotel room. They also may have prepaid credit cards for websites like Backpage.com.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent says last week's Shaping Our Appalachian Region Summit was a productive event. A record crowd of more than 1,300 people from around the region, the state, the nation, and the world were in attendance. Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin, Congressman Hal Rogers, and UK basketball coach John Calipari were the keynote speakers at the summit. Trent says those that followed the trio to the podium delivered one main message to the crowd.
Every other speaker that came in talked about the work ethic, the strong family, the strong workforce that is already in Eastern Kentucky, and for us to continue to make that known to the world.
Trent says Eastern Kentucky has had several economic development successes in the past few years, but officials urge those at the SOAR Summit to continue to work hard to build upon those successes.
Overdose calls are becoming more routine in Rowland County and across the state. That's according to Moorhead Rowland County EMS Director Danny Blevins. Emergency medical crews sometimes respond to three or four drug-related calls per shift, with eight overdose deaths last year and 37 since 2012. Blevins says that making positive changes will take a multifaceted approach.
I think there's multiple things that need to be done. I think just from my view of it with the repeat overdoses, obviously there's got to be an element of true penalty where people are charged with dealing and be held accountable for deaths. I mean, there's got to be an element of that that's there. There's also got to be a rehab element there. We get people in the rehab centers and try to get them the help they need.
Blevin says that other first responders, like police and firemen, are often on hand to assist with drug-related calls. Some members of the Moorhead-Rowland County EMS have been threatened or even attacked while trying to save someone from overdosing.
Even though it's been tough sledding at times, the officer heading Operation Rowan Roundup says there can be no quit in law enforcement's fight against the sale and use of illegal narcotics. Chief Deputy Joe Klein has spearheaded that effort for the Rowan County Sheriff's Department since it began back in 2010. Klein notes Operation Rowan Roundup's work has led to well over 200 traffickers being arrested and charged with dozens of addicts being directed to services they need to help them kick their habit.
That's the good part of it, is when we know we are helping. And then the other part of it, when you see the influx of the heroin and the meth, it's in, it's out, and it's back. Like I said, I refer to it as a roller coaster ride. It's frustrating at times, but also we are doing some good. And now, you know, people say we're not winning the war. You know, it depends on what front you're battling. There's different battle fronts.
Klein says the best weapon authorities must continue to employ in their battle against drugs is education. By helping people better understand the dangers of using illegal narcotics, he believes it can help stop a problem before it starts and also save lives.
A new study shows a growing disparity between infant mortality and life expectancy rates in Appalachia compared with the rest of the country. The study was published in the August issue of Health Affairs. It compared infant mortality and life expectancy rates in Appalachia with the rest of the United States between 1990 and 2013. The study found that while the infant mortality rate in Appalachia was close to that of the rest of the country in 1990, by 2013, the rate was 16% higher than the 13-state region. Also, the study found life expectancy in Appalachia to be about 2.4 years less than the rest of the country. The study blamed the disparity on a number of issues, including smoking, drug use, and accidental deaths, such as car accidents.
Police accused a Southern Kentucky woman of setting her husband on fire after catching him with another woman. WKYT reports the Laurel County Sheriff's Office arrested 40-year-old Vera Wooten on Monday night. Investigators say they were notified of a domestic violence complaint on Woodland Drive. That's where they say Wooten poured gasoline on her husband and set him on fire. According to her arrest citation, Wooten saw her husband in a car with another woman. The report goes on to say that Wooten pulled her husband out of the vehicle and began beating him. The other woman left in her car, and when she looked back, she noticed the man was on fire and called 911. The sheriff's office says Wooten drove her husband to a local hospital, and a medical helicopter then flew him to a hospital in Cincinnati. Investigators say the victim has burns over 50% of his body and that the hospital has him listed in critical condition. The Laurel County Sheriff's Office has charged Wooten with assault.
L. Rogers Wells, Jr., who served as finance secretary to former Kentucky Governor Wallace Wilkinson, has died. Wells, a Glasgow businessman, had died Sunday at the age of 79. The Lexington Herald Leader reports that Wells was a key fundraiser in Wilkinson's campaign. He was finance secretary throughout Wilkinson's administration from 1987 to 1991. Wells was chairman of the board and chief executive officer of American Materials Incorporated and had been chairman of New Farmers National Bank and the Bowling Green Bank and Trust Company. He owned companies involved in agriculture, fertilizer, coal, gas, oil, plastics, cable television, engineering, warehousing, construction, and real estate development. He was acquitted in 1995 of a federal charge of participating in a kickback scheme with a lottery executive.
A Kentucky think tank says its plan for tax reform would put the state on the front lines of economic growth. MSPR's Arlo Barnett has more.
Kentucky Today reports the Pegasus Institute of Louisville is calling for the eventual elimination of state income taxes. The think tank released a report Monday citing Kentucky's GDP growth of 0.3% in the past decade compared to 2.58% in Tennessee and 4.7% in Indiana as the result of a burdensome tax structure. The Institute recommends a relatively simple 3-3-6 plan, including a flat 3% rate on income and corporate taxes, and a broadened sales tax base achieved by closing current loopholes. The reforms would purportedly increase the take-home wages of the average Kentucky family by nearly $1,000 a year and give the state one of the lowest corporate tax rates nationwide. The report is available to lawmakers and everyone else at PegasusKentucky.com. I'm Arlo Barnett, MSPR News.
Kentucky State Police think they have the best-looking ride around, and they hope residents agree enough to vote for their cruiser in competition. The agency is participating in the American Association of State Troopers 2018 Best Looking Cruiser Contest. Their entry is a photo of a new Dodge Charger cruiser in a horse farm setting. The contest winner will be featured on the cover of the association's 2018 wall calendar. Police say in a statement that residents can support their favorite cruiser by visiting the contest page on Facebook and liking the photo. All votes must be cast by 5 p.m. on August 14th.
The Kentucky State Fair begins next week, and with it comes a number of specialty confections. Mike Kramer is a food vendor with the State Fair. He specializes in tater tots. Kramer also serves hot brown tater tots, which are doused in diced turkey, gravy, and bacon. Both dishes cost $6. The Kentucky State Fair begins on August 17th.
Taking a look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Today, mostly clear skies with a low of around 56 degrees. Tomorrow, patchy valley fog before 9 a.m., otherwise sunny, with a high of near 81 degrees. Wednesday night, a 20% chance of showers after 3 a.m., partly cloudy skies with a low of around 63 degrees. On Thursday, a chance of showers before 11, and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms between 11 and 2. Then showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy skies with a high near 79 degrees, chance of precipitation at 60%. And on Friday, a 20% chance of showers after 11, partly sunny skies with a high near 82 degrees and a low of around 65 degrees. Right now in Lexington, it's 79 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 78 degrees. In Ashland, it's 80 degrees. Inez is 78 degrees. Winchester is 78 degrees. And right now, it's 79 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
In today's feature segment, Kentucky's first large-scale fish habitat project is wrapping up its fourth and final year. Morehead State Public Radio's Ellen Barnett has the story.
The Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife in northeastern Kentucky has periodically been placing thousands of artificial fish habitats in Caveron Lake since 2013. The habitats provide reliable fishing locations for humans, as well as a refuge and hunting grounds for fish of all sizes. Chad Nickel is a fishery technician who has been working on the project for the past 4 years.
Well, when the lake was impounded, the Northeastern Fisheries District actually started placing habitat into the lake at some point, just small scale. But just in the last 4 years, the large-scale habitat program has taken place. So we do a section of the lake each year for 4 years, and this year completes the fourth year.
The structures are submerged 16 to 18 feet under the water. Some of the habitats are made of durable PVC, which will last indefinitely, while others are made with organic materials such as pallets, stumps, brush, and cedar trees that will be periodically checked for deterioration and replaced within a few years. The department received a $10,000 grant from the Reservoir Fish Habitat Partnership to pay for materials. The project's final push will include the closing of two boat ramps from August 13th to the 17th.
You know, we're going to be working from the boat ramps to launch this effort into the lake. So it's more of a safety issue than anything, just so we can get it in there without, you know, damaging anything.
While the program at Cave Run Lake is the first of this scale in the state, Nickel says the department will use the project as a model as they implement other such programs across the state.
Some of the lakes throughout Kentucky will receive this, so we got a habitat barge. It's going to be utilized throughout the state. So what lake is next is unknown. It just depends on the district biologist, what lake they want the habitat in or is needed the most.
The department warns that creating your own artificial habitats is potentially dangerous and therefore illegal, but if you know of a good spot for one, they would like to hear about it. More information about the project, including how to donate materials or otherwise volunteer, can be found at the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife Department's website, fw.ky.gov, under Fish. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Ellen Barnett.
It's 4:48 and 79 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm here with Sean Delaney, and we're glad to have you with us. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Morehead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Good day with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. After blasting San Diego 11-3 last night at home, the Cincinnati Reds will try to make it two in a row over the Padres when they host them again tonight. While Patrick Kevlehan's grand slam led the Cincinnati attack in Monday's game, Joey Votto highlighted things by homering for a third straight game. It marked Votto's 136th career long ball at Great American Ballpark, which moved him past his good buddy Jay Bruce for first place in the Reds record book.
Yeah, we're both very, very aware of everything we do. And I will let him know once I get back into the clubhouse, yeah. Or maybe he'll let me know. I don't know.
That's Votto last night on Fox Sports South. First pitch this evening between the Reds and Padres at Great American will happen at 7:10. While the Eagles are still trying to solidify their quarterback and wide receiver spots during preseason camp, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier says he has question marks he's trying to answer about his defense. Tenier says he and his staff need to determine who will start at safety.
That's a position that's really important. You know, it's the quarterback of the defense, and he gets people aligned from the back to the front. And we're going to have some young guys step in and play some roles there. And but I really feel like we got some versatile athletes and some really high skill levels. So I'm excited about the pieces we have.
MSU has just two safeties returning with significant game experience, redshirt junior Saeed Kanu and redshirt sophomore Aaron Turk. The Kentucky football team continues to gear up for the 2017 season. Going into his second year as offensive coordinator, Eddie Grant is the longest tenured OC at UK during the Mark Stoops era, with Neil Brown and Shannon Dawson leaving after just one season apiece. Starting quarterback Steven Johnson says not having to learn a new playbook this offseason has been a big positive for the offense.
Just maturity. Everybody knows kind of what we're doing now, what Coach Grant and what Coach Henshaw want to do with this offense, where we want to go with it. So just have everybody on the same page now. That's the biggest thing.
The Cats open up the 2017 season in Hattiesburg, Mississippi with Southern Mississippi on September the 2nd. Three Western Kentucky football players have pleaded guilty to charges stemming from a fight outside of a campus fraternity. Among the three were former Ashland star running back Quentin Baker. The men were placed on conditional discharge for 2 years and must complete community service. WKU announced the three players are suspended for the September 2nd season opener against Eastern Kentucky. Round County football coach Kelly Ford reports that he now has 85 players out for this year's team. Ford says that's a significant number, and it will be a big help in his efforts to rebuild the Vikings program.
The more bodies you got, the better off football team you're going to have. Just for us, for example, you know, we've got kids that when we go ones versus ones now, you know, it's not ones versus our JV or our freshman kids, and that's a good thing to have when you're getting to play a practice against game speed-like situations in practice. It helps you out a whole lot on Fridays.
The Round County team gets its first taste of outside competition on Friday night as it visits Nicholas County for an 8 o'clock scrimmage as part of the EKC Gridorama. Saying his team has more experience, more talent, and more depth this year, East Carter football coach Tim Champlin is optimistic about the Raiders' 2017 chances. While Champlin likes the abilities of his skilled players on offense, he points out that he's most enthused about East Carter's potential at the line of scrimmage.
Key to our football team this year is going to be our offensive line. You know, we're mature up front. I think we've got a decent sized offensive line, and we've got some depth there, and we've got some age to us there. Meaning, you know, we're playing a lot of juniors and seniors, and not so many sophomores and freshmen anymore on the offensive line.
East Carter's 2017 schedule starts on August the 18th with the contest at McGoffin County. From the NFL, the Browns say that Brock Osweiler will start at quarterback in the team's Thursday exhibition opener against New Orleans. Just signed by Miami, quarterback Jay Cutler won't play in the Dolphins' preseason opener Thursday, but he'll be this team's starter soon enough. Coach Adam Gase says the Dolphins didn't lure the veteran out of retirement to just stand on the sideline. And Atlanta coach Dan Quinn says cornerback Jalen Collins' spot with the Falcons could be in jeopardy. Quinn says that Collins broke the trust of the team by being suspended by the league for 10 games for testing positive for PED use. The Round County boys soccer team gets the season started a week from today when they host Bourbon County. After losing five seniors from last year's 61st District Championship team, head coach Max Hammonds is pleased with his roster for this season.
We've got a lot of talented kids. You got a lot of athletes out there. I think we've got, you know, five or six kids that are restarting on the soccer team and on the football team. You know, that's really impressive for them to be able to do that. Shows you what kind of athletes that we got. You know, we've got a good core group of just soccer players to build around those athletes too, so I think it'll go well.
After winning three straight 16th region championships from 2014 through 2016, Round went 16-7-1 last season, falling to Boyd County in the first round of the 16th region tournament. Finally in sports, Morehead State volleyball coach Jamie Gordon really likes his team's solid core of young returning veterans. The Eagles have just one returning senior. Gordon believes his freshman class has an interesting blend of skill and experience.
An interesting combination of three new players that are really bring a lot of athleticism and energy. But then we have two players that redshirted for us last year, Chandler Clark and Liz Allen. So even though they didn't compete for us last year, they've been in the gym, been working with our teams.
The MSU volleyball team has just started preseason drills. The Eagles have an exhibition match at Wright State on August the 19th. That's sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Tickets are now available for Morehead State fall sports, including football, volleyball, and soccer. Soccer hosts Valparaiso in an exhibition match on Sunday at MSU's Jane Stadium. Game time is 1 p.m. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower after President Donald Trump warned North Korea that saying that threats will be met with fire and fury. And Trump made his remarks just hours after revelations Pyongyang has successfully created a miniaturized nuclear weapon designed to fit inside its missiles. And that news definitely put a damper on the markets in the afternoon. The Dow Industrials broke a 10-day winning streak, finishing down 33.08 at 22,085.34. The S&P 500 was down 5.99 at 2,474.92. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 13.31 at 6,370.46. And New York Stock Exchange breadth was almost 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. The benchmark 10-year yield the benchmark 10-year U.S. Treasury yield jumped to 2.28% as bond prices fell. This after the jobs openings and labor turnover survey showed a record number of job openings for the month of June. As of Friday, calendar second quarter earnings have grown by 10.1%, and S&P Capital IQ originally forecast earnings to grow by 6.2%. Dow component Disney reported lower than expected revenues after the bell today, and this sent the stock down over 2% in after-hours trading. Michael Kors and Ralph Lauren both posted better-than-expected earnings before the bell today, sending their stocks higher by 21% and 13% respectively. Retail stocks have taken a hit this year, with the Spider S&P Retail ETF dropping 6.2% in the period as investors fear further market gains from Amazon. In Europe, markets rose, with the Stock 600 up almost 0.2%. In Asia, markets were mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.3% and the Hang Seng up 0.6%. Among Dow stocks, the best performers were Apple and Disney. The worst performers were Merck and DuPont. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Michael Kors and Ralph Lauren, and the worst performers were Albemarle Corporation and Expeditors International. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $1.11 at $62.30, Marathon Petroleum down 45 cents at $54.45, AEP up 56 cents at $71.36, AK Steel down 9 cents at $5.42, CSX up 52 cents at $50.14, and U.S. Bancorp.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry, local artwork, mineral specimens, fossils, and treasures from around the globe. Eat Gallery also offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, and gifts for any occasion. Open 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly clear skies with a low of around 56 degrees. Then on Wednesday, patchy fog before 9 a.m., so drive careful. Otherwise, sunny with a high near 81 degrees. On Wednesday night, a 20% chance of showers after 3 a.m., partly cloudy with a low of around 63 degrees. On Thursday, a chance of showers before 11 a.m., then a chance of showers and thunderstorms between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., showers likely and a thunderstorm is possible after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy skies with a high near 79 degrees, chance of precipitation at 60%. On Thursday night, showers likely, mainly after 7 p.m., mostly cloudy skies with a low of around 65 degrees, chance of precipitation at 60%. Right now in Lexington, it's 79 degrees, in Flemingsburg, it's 78 degrees, Ashland is 80 degrees, Inez is 78 degrees, Winchester is 78 degrees, and it's 79 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Paul Hitchcock, Arlo Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Xavier Adkins, and Chaz Jenkins. From WUKY, Josh James, and Kentucky News Network's Paul Miles. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and Translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.